Let's go on. We're in Romans, the second chapter, and verse number 11. We talked about old sinners flee from the wrath of an angry God last week. Remember that? And the book of Romans is a beautiful book of grace, is it not? A book of grace. Bill, you asked me about Enoch a while ago, so we'll go into that just a little bit. Enoch was the seventh man from Adam. The seventh generation from Adam. He is a type, a very, very important type of something in the Bible. Sharon, what is Enoch a type of? Joanne. Joanne, what is Enoch a type of? She's a very important type, Enoch, in the Bible. Chris.
The rapture.
He's a type of the rapture. Okay? Now, Enoch preached for how many years? How many years did Enoch preach? Brother Mike?
300.
300 years. A plus? All right. He preached for 300 years. What did he preach, Chris?
Basically, the destruction, the sinfulness of man.
That judgment was coming. Mm-hmm. He had a son, and he named that son what? He had a son, and he named that son what?
Methuselah.
Methuselah. What does Methuselah mean? It means literally son of the dark or son of death, or when he's dead, it shall come to pass. The year that Enoch died, and how long did Enoch live? 969 years. That's the oldest man in the world. But when he died, he said, when this man dies, his son, when his son dies, it shall come to pass, the judgment of God shall come to pass. How long did Noah preach?
300 years, wasn't it?
How long did Noah preach?
300 or 500?
Nope. How many years? 120 years. God said that I'm going to leave man only 120 years, and people try to say, see, man can live 120. That's not what it's talking about there. That's not the context. The context there is that I'm going to, in 120 years, I'm going to judge the earth. And during that 120 years, what did Noah do? He worked a lot. He worked a lot. How long did it take him to build that boat?
Chris,
he had 120 years to do it. How long did it take him to do it? We don't know. We can't tell you how long it took him to do it. But during that 120 years, he built that boat, that ark. Okay? And at the end of that 120 years, what happened?
Destruction through water.
God told him to get in the ark. God called the animals into the ark. God put Noah in the ark, and what did he do? He shut the door, and it began to rain. Were there people that believed? How many people believed in the ark?
All of them.
Eight. How many people believed on the outside of the ark?
More and more as it rained.
That is a type of the rapture. The rapture here, there will be a great revival after the judgment comes, but there is going to be destruction and judgment on the earth. There will be judgment. Why is the tribulation period coming, Brother Bill? Why is the tribulation period coming on the earth?
To give people a chance to get saved?
Nope. That's not it. Not quite.
What is it?
To bring Israel back to God.
That's right.
To bring Israel back to God. And what else? To judge the nations for what they do. And how will they be judged at the end of this tribulation period? How will they be judged? Brother Chuck? How will they be judged at the end of this tribulation? How will the ethne, the nations, be judged, the Gentiles? On what basis? Christine?
On their works, on what they've done.
On what they've done to what?
With Jesus Christ.
With the Jews.
Oh.
Yeah. How they've done with the Jews. How they've done. Because right here, these people are going to be one unit. In all reality, we got Gentiles and Jews. How many Jews are going to get saved during this period of time? How many Jews we know are going to be sealed? 144,000. How many are going to get killed?
Two out of three.
How many Gentiles are going to die?
Five out of six.
You guys are pretty good students, aren't you? Pretty good students. A guy from Washington, I talked to him on the phone yesterday, and he said, your students are brilliant. he said, they're better than the seminary students. Young lady, you have a question.
Quick question. I like that. Do you have a smaller version of that?
Yes, ma'am, I do. And you will have one before you leave here today.
Thank you.
All right.
You're going to have one.
Here it comes. All right. This chart gets you in place. This is what tells you what's going on, when, why, where, and how much. Okay? This is one of the most useful tools. I've been standing in front of this little chart for 40 years of teaching. I stopped in front of this chart in the 1970s at CMBI, California Missionary Baptist Institute. There's eternity past. Where did Enoch live? When did Enoch live?
Was it in conscience, I would say?
Right here. Enoch lived in this period of time right here. Okay. What was the responsibility of the people at that time? Do good and offer a blood sacrifice. Their failure, there was wickedness, and what else? What else happened so terribly in that time? Sharon.
The Nephilim
were created on the earth. This is a conglomeration of humans and angels, okay? Okay, now how do we know that that's possible? What Bible verse tells us that's not possible besides Genesis 6 and 1? What other verse tells us that? Christine.
David and Goliath.
David and Goliath was a Nephilim, but tell me the first verse in the Bible that predicted an angel would marry a woman.
Oh, Genesis 3.
Yes.
3:15.
Genesis 3:15. It says there that Satan and Jehovah are having a conversation, and that the conversation is, I'm going to put active hatred between your seed and the seed of the woman. Your seed is who? Who's he, your seed? Who's he talking to?
Satan.
Is Satan going to have a son? Does the Bible say that? Did Jehovah say that? He's going to have a son. And this son is going to be procreated from Satan's loins. Okay? And he's going to walk on this earth. Now, there are many antichrists. Okay? There are many antichrists. But there is one antichrist. The antichrist. Definite article in front of it. All the way back here in the garden, God prophesied that this is going to happen. In Genesis 9, verses 24 through 27, what's prophesied there, Christine?
Genesis 9.
9, 24 through 27, Noah's prophecy.
Oh, when the Gentiles will take over being the...
When the Gentiles
church.
Will take over the responsibility of Shem. Because Shem did what here? Shem rejected their messianic king and rejected the kingdom that was to come. So they rejected that, didn't they? Mm-hmm. All right? You're enjoying this? You getting a little bit of something out of this? Okay. Now, Enoch lived during this period of time, didn't he? All right? For 300 years he preached. For 120 years Noah preached. For 969 years, I'm not sure that Methuselah didn't have something to say about it too. What do you think? Well, one of these days I'm going to die. And he kept living longer than anybody, longer than anybody, longer than anybody. And then people will say, God is not going to come back. Look, they've said this for so many years. But the Bible says, as in the days of Noah, so shall be what? The coming of the Son of Man. Here we have the flood. All human mammal life died. That was terra firma, okay? Epites gaze upon the earth. All of that died. Everything al-ha'aretz, everything upon the earth died. Every living land-bound mammal and human died. Even the Nephilim. We have creatures that live through the flood, don't we? What were they? The whales? If there were any leviathans? What is a leviathan? What is a leviathan? It's a supernatural creature. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a supernatural creature that is a dragon. Okay? We see that in the Bible. It's a supernatural creature. There are natural and supernatural. What does supernatural mean? Supernatural. It's the same thing as paranormal, isn't it? Supernatural, paranormal. What's paranormal?
Outside
outside of our dimensions that we live in that can come and go and that is not restrained to our three dimensions only. All right? That's supernatural. The Leviathans were supernatural. I don't know what all is out there. People are still discovering in the world, they're still discovering things in the sea. The sea is the most undiscovered area in the world. Did you know that? We're playing around with outer space when we probably ought to fool around down in the ocean a little bit more if we don't get ate up by some big creature. All right, let's go on. We have human government established. What's the basis of all human government? Roger, you remember what the basis of human government is? If you're going to be a real legitimate human government, what's it supposed to do?
Provide safety.
Provide safety for its adherents. And what else?
The mutual benefit.
They're supposed to protect people from the invaders, mm-hmm. protect people from the outlaws, and to protect people from the government. Okay, that's the purpose of human government. That is the basis of all human government. All right? What happened right here? What happened right there?
People didn't scatter like they were supposed to.
All right. Here we have...
God made them.
We have judgment again, don't we? And that's what we live with today. We live in this judged world because of that. God told man to scatter, multiply. In Europe, people didn't scatter, did they? They built great big cities even after this, didn't they? Okay? What happened immediately after that? What was the biggest city there that's going to rise in the last days again?
Babylon.
Babylon. Babylon. Babylon rose. Babylon rose. And Thumner knows that God and Nimrod and all his group, they invented slavery. You know, Cain invented slavery. Out there, God cursed the ground, so he just hired slaves to work harder. And he had then we have people killing each other in that period of time. This period of time ends with God dividing the earth. In the days of Peleg, God divided the earth. That's how you got the continents. That's how the Indians got here. We were here when the earth was divided. Whose languages were confused more than anybody else in the world? Whose languages? What group of people?
The Hamites.
Okay? That's all of our dark races. The Hamites' languages were more confused than anybody else's in the world. And we went out further away from the original area, Mesopotamia, than all the others. We're scattered out. God confused the languages, and of course, you go where you can understand people's languages, don't you? You want to talk to somebody you can understand, don't you? Okay? So they went where they could understand each other, and God divided the continents. You know, the idea of the lost continent of Atlantis. As it went over the Atlantic out there, it was a Pacific. We have the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Indian, all of these different plates in the world where the earth is divided. This is science, too. These are the tectonic plates. All these plates, but when the Americas got over the horizon where they couldn't see it anymore, they thought that continent disappeared and fell into the ocean. There's where you have the idea of Atlantis. The scientists now realize, hey, Atlantis was probably America. What is the most populated place in the world in 1300 AD? What was the most populated place in the world?
The Americas.
The Americas was the most populated place in the world. But what advantage did they have over Europe and the Middle East?
Hygiene,
for one. Medicine.
Better food.
All right. Now, we're doing this on Sunday afternoon, creation versus evolution. I'm giving you a little bit of that, okay?
Industry.
That's at Sunday afternoon. Creation versus evolution. What was the greatest contribution of the American people to Europe?
Food.
Europe was starving to death. Rice. Wheat, barley. What did America contribute to the world?
Corn, tomatoes, beans, chilies, tomatoes.
You know what one of the greatest lifesavers in Europe was, what they took to Europe?
Potatoes.
Potatoes don't rot your teeth. Potatoes don't rot your teeth. You chew grain, and according to how bad a grain it was, it wears your teeth out, for one thing, even when it's cooked. And what else? It gets between your teeth. Potatoes don't do that. You know that potatoes, the American potato, increased the lifespan of the Europeans by at least 10 years when it went there. And peanuts. These are all of these crops that are, many of these crops were developed, DNA engineered from poisonous plants, the nightshade. Mm-hmm. Tomatoes are nightshade plants. Potatoes are nightshade plants. All right, so let's go on. We're getting a little review here. So the languages and the continents were divided. And then we have somebody very important in God's eyes. Who was he?
Abraham.
What was his name?
Abram.
Avram. Say Avram. What does Avram mean, Sharon?
Exalted father.
Exalted father. What does Abraham mean, Brother Bill? Abraham. Avraham.
Father of nations?
Father of many.
Exalted father of many nations. Yeah. All right. Tell me what nations that Abraham is the father of. All of them. Yeah. All the nations. Why? Jason, you remember why he's the father of all the nations? Tell me his genetic deposit. Chris?
Three wives.
Three wives.
Keturah.
Keturah was what? Hamite. Egyptian. All of that. All right. And a lot of the Arab tribes. Keturah. Okay. But not all of them. All right. Who else?
Sarah.
Shemites. Okay. He's the father of all the Jews.
And then, I don't know.
And then we have Keturah. Abraham had quite a few sons, didn't he? More sons by Keturah than anything else. What does a Keturah? Here is where most of your Arab races come from, is from Keturah. Okay? Most of the Arab races are from Keturah. What else?
Japheth.
These are the ones that were spread all over the world. Who was one of the greatest, most prolific descendants of Abraham that conquered the world in 14 years?
Mongols.
Who?
Mongols?
No.
Alexander
the Great.
Oh.
These are all from that. You go study these. You see them going into Europe and everything, okay? So now we're talking about the whole history of the world, okay? Now, one of these things I want to bring to you, because in Romans here, it says that all men are without excuse. We all came from one place, didn't we? How many fathers do we have? Not Ham, Shem, and Japheth, not Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid, the three races. What is it? Avon. Adam and Hava, Eve. That's where we came from. What information did they have? All of those kids had the same information, but it got twisted up, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Got twisted up. Here we go over here to the promise, old Abraham. Abraham, now God picks him out to be a caretaker, administrator of God's kingdom in that time. Noah was an administrator in God's kingdom during that period of time. Here. Adam was the administrator of God's kingdom at that time. Adam was a great administrator, wasn't he? What all was Adam over?
Everything.
Everything. Everything. He was over everything. He was over all of the whole earth. The whole thing. The animal kingdom, everything. God told him to be over all things. As far as I know, when he looked at the stars, he was over that. Who did he hand the title deed over to when he sinned?
Lucifer.
Satan, Lucifer. Yeah. That's why we have all this trouble today. Let's go on down here. Promise.
I guess that's my...
Yes.
My question is, why did Satan, who'd already been kicked out of heaven, get the title deed to the earth? Why?
First of all, he was the caretaker of the earth.
Yes, I am.
Okay, he was the caretaker of earth. Who was Adam supposed to protect his earth from?
Satan.
Did he?
No.
He gave it back to him. He gave it back. Here, take it. And then we live in this situation because of what Adam did. Mm-hmm. And Adam said, what? The woman you gave me. She made me do it. And she said, We nahashi shiani. And what does that mean?
The
devil made me do it. We nahashi shiani. The devil made me do it. Okay? And then we have all of this. And we're getting down here a little bit further. We're going to go back in the book of Romans, but I'm giving you a preview of the whole world right now, okay?
I have a question.
Yes.
You talked about Abraham being caretaker and everything.
Yeah. He was the administrator.
Melchizedek.
Yes, Melchizedek.
It says he was the king of Salem. Or
Melchizedek. What does Melchizedek mean, Roger?
King of
okay.
Righteousness.
What does king mean?
Malek.
What does righteous mean?
Sedek.
King of righteousness. That's what he was. Who is he a type of?
Christ.
So he was subservient to him, and he ties to him, didn't he?
Right.
He ties to him.
My question is, it seems like there was already a worship system or a church to say that Melchizedek was ahead of, you know, before even Abraham.
They were. That's where we have the patriarchal, what we call kingdom, king priest. Abraham was a king priest, okay? But he was subservient to the great king priest, was Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is a type of who?
Jesus Christ.
Huh?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. Some people think it was actually Jesus in his pre-incarnate form. I do not know. Okay? He is a type of him, I can guarantee you that much. He had no mother, no father, no beginning, no end, none of that at all, okay? Okay, now, Abraham, was he a sinless character? That tells us, like in the book of Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all are sinners, aren't we? Boy, by the grace of God only do we get to go to heaven. The difference between, like, Catholicism. What do you do in Catholicism? You work your way to heaven. What do you do in the Jehovah's Witness cult? You work your way in heaven. What do you do in the Seventh-day Adventist cult? You work your way to heaven. What do you do in Islam? You have to outweigh your bad deeds. And if you really want to go to paradise, you got to die in jihad, because you can't get there otherwise. You're going to have to go to hell first.
Or make sure your good deeds outweigh your bad.
Yeah, you have to do that. But you have to go be purified, don't you? You have to go purify, go through a purification. If you want to get to paradise, you have to die in the struggle for Islam. And then you're guaranteed what?
Paradise, 70 virgins.
72 virgins. And what else? You become intercessor for 70 of your family. All right? Well, that's a pretty big price to pay, your death. But what does God of the Bible say? I die for you. I paid it all. Do you see the difference between grace and hyper-Arminianism? There's quite a difference, isn't it? We have a God that loves us, the God that came down to us. Let's go on over here. Egyptian bondage. Why did Israel go into Egypt for 400 years? Brother Mike.
Because of food.
Well, that's the reason why they went down there, because what was different about, what's the name for Mitzrayim? Red mud and canal banks. Mitzrayim means the land of red mud and canal banks. What's that mean, Brother Bill?
I didn't
hear that. They had irrigation down there. They didn't need rain. They had irrigation, and there was famine in the land and no rain. But the Nile River still ran. Mm-hmm. They still irrigated their crops down there. They had some crops down there. And not only that, they had Joseph. What does Joseph mean? Joseph. Josephi.
He shall prosper
and increase. All right, so Pharaoh was given all the land of Egypt and many lands around him by Joseph. He was the ultimate monarch at that time because of Joseph. Well, the reason why Israel went down into Egypt was because Abraham sinned. What was the first thing he did when he didn't trust God? Sharon, do you remember that, Joanne?
When he said his wife was his sister,
went to Egypt. He trusted in the world rather than Christ. So guess what happens? Because of that, does your sins carried upon your people, your children? Yes. That's how it happens sometimes. And so that's why they went down there, literally. is because of his sins. So they went down there, and he told him, he said, they're going to go down there, and they're going to stay down there for 400 years, and what is going to happen? They're going to come out there with wages. And they're going to be glad to get rid of them. Okay? And they will go into the land of Canaan. What does Canaan mean? Canaan. Canaan? Canaan? Roger?
Prosperity?
Possession. Possession. All right? We have a lot of people called Cain or Cain in the Bible, don't we? Quite a few. All right? And the land called Canaan. And that land was cursed, wasn't it? God cursed that land because he knew those people would be bad dudes. All right, so 400 years they were down there, and then he came out of there, and God whooped Pharaoh. And if you look at the book of Revelation and you look at the Egyptian contest down there between Jehovah and the gods of Egypt, you'll see the book of Revelation played all over before you. The plagues, the water turning into blood, the pestilence, all of this, you see all of this again. The plagues of Egypt are the plagues in the book of Revelation, and I'm doing that right now. That's what we're doing in our kingdom studies. So they're down there for 400 years. They come in and they come to the land of Canaan. And they won't go in because they're afraid of the Nephilim. There's Nephilim again. These giants. 9-10 foot tall people, big people. You know, I saw a Nephilim one time. I don't want to see it ever again. Really. They're scary dudes because they're supernatural people. Supernatural.
Is that how they came to the land again then? After the flood, they were wiped out.
Yeah, but the angels cohabited again. Now, the book of Enoch's writing tells you what angels cohabited with what women and what sins they brought into the human race. If you can go to the website, discovertheword.drjim.com, look over there, and you can read the whole book of Enoch right there. It's there. Read it. It'll scare the daylights out of you. That's what happened back then. It's the book of Jasher also tells you that. Hasafer Yashur, that book of Jasher. The book of Jasher is not an inspired book. I don't know how much of the book of Enoch is inspired, but it's history. I can guarantee you some of it's inspired because it's quoted all over the Bible. Every book writer in the Bible quotes the book of Enoch. How many of you read the book of Enoch? Then you go and look at, can you see it in Peter's writing? Can you see it in Jesus' words? Can you see it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? All of these? James?
One of them talks about my father Enoch.
Yeah, but the book of Jude direct quotes him directly.
Yeah.
The book of Jude quotes him directly, and he gives him credit for it. But many times they're quoted. The Apostle Paul used a lot. He quoted from a lot of pagan culture. He didn't tell them that. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That was a poet, a pagan poet. Okay. A lot of the things we have. The old thing, the sting of death, or the power of death is the sting of death, is whatever, I can't think of. Huh?
Where is thy sting?
Yeah. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is the victory? That was a pagan statement that the Apostle Paul used. He used it and turned it into the Bible. Didn't tell you, but you can go look at all these. How many of you ever gone and trace these little sayings that are used in the Bible? There are many inspired Christian hymns in the Bible that we don't see. The book of Revelation, the Hallelujah chorus. The Hallelujah hymns in the Old Testament, 104, 105, 106, something like that, of Psalms. These are inspired Psalms. So they're down in Egypt. They come into the land. They won't take it over. So that whole generation had to die, didn't they? Then he put them in the land. And then finally, later on, we have judges. We have kings. And then Israel is so bad that what does God do to them? Runs them off. Two captivities. Tell me about them. What were the two captivities?
Assyria.
The Assyrian captivity for who?
Israel.
And who was Judah? The Babylonian captivity. So they're carried off in these things, and then they come back. And they get in the land. And then we get a bad man on the throne of Egypt, or of Israel. Antony and Cleopatra, the Jews were fighting over who was supposed to be on the throne of Israel. So they asked the Caesar, say, Antony, Cleopatra, tell us who we're supposed to have on the throne. Well, let's just put one of Esau's boys on there instead of Jacob's, instead of Israel's boy. The wrong man's on the throne, the wrong family. So Esau is on the throne. And who was that guy's name? Herod.
He was the first
Herod.
First appointed,
this is Herod the Great.
Yeah, first appointed king by by the Jewish people?
No. They ask Romans to make a decision between them. Okay? Now, what did Herod do? What did he do when he got in power? He killed all the priests. He killed the whole Sanhedrin. And, well, he didn't kill all the priests, but some of them ran off somewhere. They done runned off. Where did they run off to?
Petra.
Huh?
Petra?
No. Where did they run off to? Come on, tell me now. This is an easy one. Huh?
Sure.
Where did they make a lot of ridings?
Tiberias.
Down the Qumrans. They ran off down to the Qumrans instead of riding. What was the most prolific writing that they did in the Qumran caves? What book did they copy more than anything?
Enoch.
The book of Enoch and the book of Jasher. And they copied all the Bible too. Why did they quote and write the book of Enoch?
Because it was history.
Because it's eschatology. Because they kept looking for the Messiah. They kept looking for the Messiah. And these are their three. And the Essenes or the Qumranians, whatever you want to call them, they always denounced those up in Jerusalem as fakes, as imposters, did they not? Fakes and imposters. So that's who that Jesus was born. The book of Matthew gives Jesus as the kingly line through Joseph, that man should have been on the throne instead of Herod's. Herod's son was the only one that ever ruled all of the whole empire was Herod the Great, and then it split up in his sons, you know, that was divided. Different ones, I won't go into all of that. But they came. Jesus came to them. The Pharisees, what were the political organizations of the day?
The Pharisees and Sadducees.
The Pharisees, the Sadducees.
Zealots.
The Hellenistic Jews. What else?
The Sicarii.
All right. So we have, what about the Herodians?
Oh, yeah.
We forgot about the Herodians, didn't we? We have the Herodians. We have the Sadducees. What are the whole Herodians? They're Herod's elite group protecting his throne. What is the Sadducees? What are the Sadducees? They're Sadducees. What are they, Brother Roger?
Philosophers.
What?
Lawyers. No.
What are they, Brother?
The legalistic philosophers.
The legalistic philosophers. Did they believe in God?
No.
No. They were atheists. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in anything else. These are the Sadducees. They're Sadducees because they don't believe they're going to get resurrected. There's no resurrection. And what infernal, horrible question did they ask Jesus? This woman had five husbands. Who is she in the resurrection? They didn't believe in the resurrection. This is a joke and a slap in his face. And he said, you err not knowing the scriptures. They believed in the first five books of Moses. Now, if you go down to Samaria, we have the Samaritans. And who are these Samaritans? Who are they descendants of? A very important person.
Abraham.
No, Abraham, but who are they descendants of?
Manasseh.
And Ephraim, which are Joseph's descendants. They were carried off into the captivity, and they come back. And the Samaritans are still there today. And they're the most inbred people in the world, because they won't marry outside their race. They're outside their people. And what books of the Bible do they study? Don't know. Bill, what books did the Samaritans study? The same thing as the Sadducees. The Sadducees. What are they, Christine?
The first five
books of the Bible only, the Torah only. That's all. They don't accept any of the rest of it because all of that's the prophets. We have the law and the prophets and the Psalms, don't we? The Bible divides itself. Jesus said you have the law and the prophets. Now the law and the prophets were unto what?
Unto John the Baptist.
Until John the Baptist. Thank you, Brother Bill. That's an A+. The law and the prophets were until John. It's preaching. And what did John do?
He
announced the Messiah was to come. The Messiah is to come. Okay? He said the Messiah is coming. And here he is. Behold, what?
The Lamb
of God which takes away the sin of the world. Okay? He came. Now, how about the Sadducees, the Pharisees? The Zealots, the Sicarii, the Hellenistic Jews, all of them, did any of them accept Jesus as their king?
No.
Any of the group as a whole?
No.
No. What did they do to him? They murdered him.
Yeah.
They murdered him. And they stood there in front of Pilate, not in the palace. They weren't going to make themselves unclean by going in there. They made Pilate come out to them. And he declared Jesus the King of the Jews and innocent five times. The findings of the court of Pontius Pilate was that Jesus is innocent. You are guilty. You ought to be crucified, not him. But they demanded it. They demanded it on pain of revolt and revolution. So he had to give them a prisoner, and he even took one of the Sicarii, one of the head leaders. Who was the head leader of the Sicarii? These people were assassins. The word Sicarii comes from the what word? Do you remember, Joanne? What word does Sicarii come from? Bill?
Yeah, it's on the tip of my tongue, Jim.
Okay.
Same thing as the mafia.
Where does it come from, Sharon? The what, Brother Roger? The dagger men. The stiletto men. The dagger men. There's where you got the mafia. The mafioso. And where was Sicily settled by?
The Sicarii.
There's where the Jewish mafia come from. All of this. This is all, it all works out, doesn't it? All works out. So they murdered Jesus. And they said, let his sins be upon us and our children. Let his blood be upon us and our children. And they got dispersed, didn't they? Ezekiel 36, 16 through 19. But they're going to be regathered because God is going to deal with them again. Because Israel will have the kingdom. They will be administrators of the kingdom. And why would God do that? Why would he do some silly thing like that?
Because he promised.
Huh? Because of his unconditional promises. Name the two covenants.
The
Abrahamic covenant and the what?
The Davidic
covenant. So that's where we are. Now let's go to the book of Romans real quick. We got all this foundation of the whole world there. Okay. Romans. The book of Romans. Romance. God's romance with humanity. God loves humanity, didn't he? For God so loved the world, the whole cosmos, that he gave his only begotten Son to redeem it back to him. 2 and verse 11 is a much quoted verse in the Bible. 2 and verse 11, Romans 2 and verse 11. For there is no partiality with God. Now in this verse it says, U gar esten prosopo le mepsia para tu theu. For there is and continues to not be any face receiver. Now that's an invention of Paul. By the way, that's Paul invented this word. Sometimes have you ever invented a word? Invented a word? Well, this is one of Paul's invented words. He said, God is no face receiver. This word's not in the Septuagint at all. God is not he doesn't look upon a man's face. He looks upon your heart.
Amen.
He looks upon your heart. Looks upon your heart. God saves men by grace. He saves men by grace, not by your good works. Sometimes our good works many times people's good works defy and blaspheme God because they're trying to get to heaven with them, and that is blasphemy. 2 and verse 11. That word there, for there is no respect to persons or no partiality. God doesn't look at the face of man. Deuteronomy 10:17, Acts 10:34, Colossians 3:25, and James 2 and verse 9 are cross-references that. And then verse number 12. For all who have sinned without the law also perish without the law. Who in the world is that?
Gentiles.
For all who have sinned without the law, is sin sin?
Amen.
It sure is. Sin is sin. Do all people have this sinful code written in their heart? What are the two of the ancient laws, codes of law? The Medes and the Persians was the law of Hammurabi. What was the oldest law in way before Muhammad's time, way before Abraham's time? The law of Hammurabi. The commandments of Hammurabi. And that's how all these tribes of people got along, according to these laws of Hammurabi. Laws of Hammurabi were a revision of that. in Medes and the Persians' time, because it was over those people there. All who have sinned without the law will perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Well, how many laws are there?
613.
That was a Pharisee's law. God had the Ten Commandments, didn't he? The law of Hammurabi had some of the commandments like that. Also, but with God's law, there's also always grace and forgiveness, isn't it? Yeah. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Not the hearers of the law, but the doers of the law. Okay? Now, who's he talking about there?
The Sadducees
and the Pharisees and the Sicarii. The Sicarii was that group of rebels that went along assassinating Roman soldiers. They get that. They come along with these long coats on, with this long double-edged dagger, and they'd hit one of them Roman soldiers underneath his breastbone and stick that thing up in his heart and twist that thing and walk off and let him bleed out. That's the Sicarii. That's what caused the destruction of Israel, by the way, was the Sicarii. They're the ones Jesus looked over there on Jerusalem. He said, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how many times I would have called you like a mother hen does her baby chickens." And that is, you heard that sound, all of you on the farm. And what those baby chickens do? They run. Do I train my chickens like that? If I go out there and go like that, what do they do? Everybody jumps around looking for daddy. When Jesus called them, they would not come. They would not come. He said, "There won't be many days, there won't be one stone left upon another," and it was because that revolt of the Sicarii that really caused it. The Sicarii would go into those villages and rape women, take whatever they wanted, foods and everything else, and tell them to shut up or they'd come back and kill them. Protection. You had to pay protection money. That's how it all went. Who was the most famous Sicarii in America? One of the most famous.
Huh?
Oh, Benjamin Siegel. Bugsy Siegel. Remember what he did? He founded Las Vegas, Lost Wages. You know, you ever heard of Lost Wages over there? People don't go over and get rich. They go over and get poor.
I thought that was Bugsy Malone.
Bugsy Siegel. All right, Benjamin. He didn't like the name Bugsy at all because he's pretty crazy sometimes. All right, without understanding, let's go back again. I went to the wrong place. Now, the Jews, they propagated the law, but they didn't do it, did they? For when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves. Are they following the commandments of God? Yes. God will judge every man according to what light he has all through the world. God is just, isn't he? He will judge men according to what light. For in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts and their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts and alternating accusing or else defending them. Does your conscience ever do that? Boy, after you get saved, you got a spirit in there that works you over, don't you? When you go the wrong way, it just slap, 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 slap all the time. You can't enjoy sin at all. I guarantee that much. Child of God can't. You can't enjoy it. God's not going to let you. Going to slap you around so much you wish you were all dead. Number 16. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. Don't do that. Who's going to judge angels? In Revelation, the 20th chapter and the 19th chapter. Who's going to judge angels? Huh? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ will judge angels. That's right. Just look it up in Corinthians. Look it up in the book of Revelation. Jew is condemned by the law. The Jew is condemned by the law. The Jews condemned themselves. They crucified their Messianic King that offered them all of the... Jesus offered them this millennial kingdom right then. How did he do that? What did he show? How did he show that to them? How did he show what God's going to do for them in the millennium?
His messianic credentials.
His messianic credentials were mainly healing the blind, raising the dead, healing all sorts of illnesses. Now, in this millennial reign, people are going to be in their bodies on this earth. Will they have sicknesses? Yeah, that will be healed because what? The trees will have healing in them. Their medicines are going to have healing in them. How long are you going to live over here?
Long time.
Long time. No people will die, any disease, death. They're going to live all the way from here to there. 1,000 years. How many children can a woman have? How many women is it medically possible for a woman to have if she could stay in good shape for 1,000 years? 1,000 children. That's in a woman. It's there. It's always been there. It was there in Eve, and it's been given down to you. You just don't make use of all of it. It kids wear you plumb out, don't they? I like that girl's smile. They keep you busy, don't they, children? You got 5 of them. Are you going to have some more children pretty soon?
I would love to, but he
let's have some more kids, okay? She needs some more kids to train. She's about got these trained up, and she needs more helpers. You know, all those old farmers used to have 10, 12 kids, 15 kids, some of them, because they needed helpers for all, because the other ones grow up and leave, and you need to have, replace them until you get so old that you fall over. But if you hear the name Jew and rely upon the law, boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind and a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a corrector of the foolish. Let's go look at that, verse number 20. 2 and 20. I usually follow it all the way. An instructor of foolish ones. Now these are, you know what actually this is? I don't think anybody was here in my class of Romans except for Bill. I think he was in Romans, wasn't he? This means brainless ones. Aphrone, aphrane, aphrane is what it comes from. It's aphronon. Ones without a lick of sense. That's it. Ones without a lick of sense. A teacher of babies. Napios. What does Napios mean? Brother Roger Napios. What? No, Napios. Napios. Napios.
A toddler.
Hot? No. Napios. What? What does that literally mean? Napios.
Still on your breast, or? I don't know.
Napios.
Speechless child.
Speechless babies. Okay. Not only brainless ones, but speechless ones. Okay. Having a form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Who is this talking to? Sharon, who's this talking to? Who's Paul talking to here? He's talking to his own people, isn't he? These are the ones that had the form. Now, the one therefore teaching another, yourself not teachers, the one crying out not to steal, and you steal. What about these people? Jesus, what about these people Jesus talked to? Did they commit perjury? Did they lie? The Jews? Did the high priest lie? Did they commit perjury? Yeah. Did they steal Jesus' kingdom from him? They stole it from him. Did they kill? They murdered. Intent, with full intent, they murdered. They not only wanted to murder him, they wanted to murder Lazarus too, didn't they? They were 2 death contracts out on them. For if you teach another and you not teach yourself, you preach that one should not steal and you steal. Did they? You say that one should not commit adultery, and do you commit adultery? You who adore idols, do you rob temples? Did they do all of these things? They did all of these things, didn't they? The highest courts of Israel, the Sanhedrin, did all of these things. You who boast in the law through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as is written. For indeed, the circumcision is of value if you practice the law, but if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. You have no covenant with God. Verse number 26, and therefore the uncircumcision man becomes the requirement, keeps the requirements of the law. Will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? The Jews are laid aside now. That's what he's talking about. He's laying aside Judaism. He's laying aside the law because the ones, the Gentiles, the dogs, the word of God, the administrator of the kingdom of God is going to the dogs. And will not he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you through having the letter of the law and uncircumcision are transgressors of the law? Who's going to judge Israel? Who's going to judge Israel? The church. The church will judge Israel. And the church at that time is a Gentile church, isn't it? The church today is a Gentile church. For he is not a Jew who is outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he who is Jew is he who is inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. So we got through that second chapter, didn't we? And you studied the whole history of the world, didn't you? Do you have any questions? Do you learn a little bit today? There's a lot out there. Have you got her together? Any of you need one of these charts? I've got some of these.